Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm promising you we're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We begin on the 7th. It is our 27th anniversary. And it is really sweet serendipity. I was actually just wearing this shirt around the house today because I have it. It's from an HBO a show called Vinyl. Nasty Bits was Mick Jagger's kids' band. And so it's a shirt I've had for a decade, just kind of hanging out. I had an opportunity this month to, on my timeline, one of my old friends from the Ravens, Kenny Abrams, who was one of the really good humans I met along life's football journey, was out at Gwynn Oak Park and put videos up of a rapper who has been a part of my life. He's going into the Hip Hop Museum and Hall of Fame down in DC later this month, and there's all sorts of things swirling. I literally would have loved for about 25 years to get this artist on the program. I've been pronouncing his name wrong the whole time, so we're going to go super nuts with all of this. But Kwame, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on, and I cannot begin to tell you that probably not a week of my life goes by where someone does not come up to me and whisper in my ear, "Do you wanna get nasty?
What?
Everybody get nasty. Let's operate." So I'm making you laugh now. How are you?
I'm good. That is the first time in my 36 years of being an artist that someone has brought that particular song up. Out of all my other songs, that particular song. So I'm shocked to hear that somebody is bringing the song Nasty up.
All right,
So
so let
I'm
me.
good.
I'm making you blush, you're making me blush. This is my 27th anniversary. It's complete serendipity that you're on, because like this just happened. I remember in the 90s saying to my producer, Ray Bachman, and Andy Mueller, longtime producers of my radio show, find this Kwame guy, find this. So let me tell you the story about how it happened. I was a music critic in the 1980s at the
Okay.
Baltimore Sun. So I interviewed Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, just through to James Ingram. I mean, all black, white, young, old, Patti LaBelle. Just I was the music critic at the paper when I
Okay.
was really young, like Cameron Crowe kind of young. And I always got the record companies would send me CDs, albums first, then CDs, sometimes cassette tapes, but CDs primarily once we got into that era in the late 80s, early 90s, when you
Yeah.
made your name in the business. I remember the first time I had a record label person will tell me about Africa Bambaataa and this Run DMC thing and the Aerosmith thing. And I had seen Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight, Sequence. I had Grandmaster Flash. I had Sugar Hill albums. So I'm a widely varied music guy. But in the
Yeah.
early 1990s, I took to calling myself Nasty Nestor because Nestor's such a weird freaking name, right? So like just saying my name, resetting, giving the phone number, like the spelling's weird on my name. So Nasty Nestor was what two kids called me. That I was like their crazy uncle. Instead of calling me Uncle Nestor, they called me Nasty Nestor. So when I went on the air, I had this nickname. I'm at the Musical Exchange, which was this giant used CD record store. They had 78s, 45. They had everything. Chris had everything in his store.
Yep. I
And he
remember that store.
grabbed this promotional item, a CD, and he knew I shopped in his store. And I was making a name for myself on radio. I've been on radio a year or two or three, it's like 93, 94, somewhere in that range. He had this promo disc, and I swear I tried to find it today. I didn't. I actually bought your real CD. So I had the real CD, okay, just so you know. But I couldn't find it. It got burned down. I did find this. This was the Nasty Nationwide theme song. I was nationally syndicated on Sporting News Radio. Your song played. You got ASCAP on all of that 30 years ago. Believe me, you did. And your song, I brought it home. He played it in the record store for me that day. I said, "Spin this," and he put it on, and I heard boom, 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 boom. At the beginning of it, do you? And I'm like, now everybody get nasty. And I'm like, I'm using that song. That song played for 20 years, Kwame. You know what I mean? Like, so I thought somewhere along life's journey, someone may say to you, there's this sports radio guy in Baltimore using your tune, dude. So now you're going in the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, I gotta get him on, man. You were in Baltimore a couple of weeks ago. I told my wife the legend of you. I swear to you, last week I was at Costas and Timonium, and a girl came up to me. I mean, not a girl, she's in her 40s, and she sang the song for me and said it was her mother's favorite song because her mother
Wow.
listened to my show.
Wow. That's amazing. You never know where certain songs take you because my perspective is something different when it comes to that song. It's not a negative thing, but it's a different perspective. Out of the records that I've made as an artist. So it's very interesting to hear this story. And, I love it. I'm thankful that you played that song for all that time. That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
Well, what's going to be crazy is when people hear this in my community, they don't know any. They think maybe somebody did. You know, Baltimore had a nice hip hop scene, and they think somebody just sort of did it for me. And I'm like, no, I found it in a record store. It's a real thing. You're a real artist, and you're a legendary artist in your space, in your world. And I've tried to say that to people when they've come up to me. I'm like, that guy did a lot of stuff, man. Like, so I just want to learn about your stuff and your
Okay.
art and your music and what you were doing in Baltimore. You're here doing, you do good causes, you do good things. And more than that, I've been trying to promote the Hip Hop Museum because, you know, Master G and Sugar Hill, when I snuck into the Baltimore Civic Center about 82 to see them play. So how far music has come from when you were a kid doing something that was maybe more isolated, like skateboarding was in East Baltimore, just sort of on the outside, and now being, as we all get older, you know, a respected artist, as you should be.
Yeah, well, I gotta just start from the start. I was a kid. I started in 1989. My first album, I was 16. My first album was called Kwame the Boy Genius. That album did very well. It was a gold album. The main singles off of that record was my introductory record was called The Man We All Know and Love. And these are staples in the hip hop community. Anybody that knows that can go back with their hip hop will know these records. They did very well. And so you have The Man We All Know and Love, and there was another single called The Rhythm. And that album garnered like four singles. But the funny thing was, it also started a fad in hip hop at that time, 1989, where all the kids were wearing polka dots because of polka dot shirts and ties that I would wear. And not intentionally, I wasn't trying to intentionally make a fad or anything like that. It was just things that I like to match. So it was like a black and white shirt with a black and white polka dot tie, or vice versa. And I would take that same tie and that same shirt and just use it on a picture, use it in a video, use it in a whatever. And
Well, you're
it
very visual, right? I mean, I think people of
yeah.
your age, MTV was well created at that point, right? Like, videos were a
Well,
way everyone saw music, they didn't just hear it, right?
MTV was well created, but not for rap. So, outside of Run DMC and Beastie Boys, that was like the only rap on MTV at the time in 89. And so we had this, we were creating our own lanes. There was so many local video shows that the hip hop community would latch on to. Like, I'm from New York, so in New York, the biggest video show was a show called Video Music Box. And then you had The Box, and the box is where you can pay and watch videos. Those were the popular shows. And then MTV Rap started to roll in around 89, 90. It started to roll in. And it got, it reached its height in by the mid 90s. But when I first came out, it wasn't merely the spectacle that it became. And from there, I went on and did my second album. Second album was called A Day in the Life. And I'm 17. My stories were about, I'm a very visual and I'm a very storytelling type of person. And all the stories that I tell come from more of like a real place, but from a kid's perspective at the time. So the second album was called The Boy, I mean, A Day in the Life. And that had a single called Only You. Only You became, I would say, probably my biggest record. I was a platinum single. And that single did very well. But the thing was, that song was an experiment because during that time in 1990, most radio stations would not play hip hop from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They would have this thing called the No Rap Workday. And with the exception of people like Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, or maybe Heavy D, or again, like a Run DMC or LL Cool J, with like I Need Love, songs like that would get daytime. MC Hammer would get daytime play, but the majority of rap records wouldn't. And for me, I wanted to change that. I wanted to change it for me. I wanted to wake up in the morning and hear my own song. So I made a song where it was 50% singing, 50% rapping, 100% danceable. And that song was a template for a lot of songs that got big in the 90s, like Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison. It was definitely the template for Poison. It was definitely the template for records like a lot of records, so many records that record became the template for, and it worked for me and it worked very well. And so we have the second album. The second album does well, and then rap begins to shift. And rap, now we're getting into the 90s, and rap starts to take a turn. And people like myself, Kid and Play, Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, we weren't as street oriented or as grimy as the newer rappers that were coming out, like the Snoop and Dre's and the Naughty by Nature's, even the some of the Tribe Called Quest. It was just more of a harder edge stuff, and my stuff was more of a fun type thing. But I did my third album, which brings me to you,
Yeah,
Nasty.
I'm holding this right now because I'm reading the liner notes and it said a adaptation of Don't Stop the Music, like
Yes.
Yarborough and Peoples Don't Stop the
Yes.
Music. And I
Yeah.
love that song. I shouted
Yeah.
that song out 3 weeks ago when we lost him a
Taven,
couple of weeks
Taven.
ago.
Yes.
And I play that. I think that might be the greatest song of that era. And I never associated it with Nasty until an hour and a half ago when I
Yeah.
pulled out the liner notes. So
Yeah.
maybe that's the groove and the hook that I felt because I knew that song in late 70s, early 80s as a dance hall hit.
And that album is bittersweet for me because I was going through issues with my record label, and that album was shelved for a year, or year and a half. So by the time that album came out, the landscape of rap really changed. And that Nasty album was probably the last echo of what we call golden era hip hop. And in certain places, it's still the song did well. Nasty did well in certain places, but if you flash forward it now, it didn't do as well to the point where if you go on iTunes and you go on Spotify or anything like that, Atlantic Records has still yet to put that album up. They have all my other works up, because those works did way better than Nasty. But there's people like you, like a lot of people that I come across that really love that album and love that song, and it's not available. So currently I'm in negotiations with my former label, Atlantic Records, to get that album re-released on streaming platforms so people could just enjoy that particular album in that time. And like I said,
Anyone,
again, I appreciate you for rocking with it, you know, and I
listen, man,
appreciate.
anyone that's tuning in, I've waited 35 years to talk to you. That song's been associated with me. You wrote it in 92. I went on the air in December of 91. Camden Yards opened in April of 92. The Ravens didn't exist. That song was, I would say, somewhere in 94, 3, 4, 5, maybe at the certainly by 95. I could go back through my tapes and, you know, what era it came, but once it came, you know, I would play that. I would play the Janet Jackson song, Nasty, Nasty Boys. Then the Beastie Boys, you know, had a Hello Nasty album name. And then people would just drop stuff off with any nasty reference, like Genuine, who I've always wanted to get on the show. And I almost had him on a couple years ago, had a song called Pony. I mean, huge, huge song. And there's a point in there, there's a beat where it says, "We're gonna get nasty, baby." So I used to sample that out as part of when I would go to breaks, in and out of breaks. It was like bumper music around here, you know. Pronounce your name for me. So I've been saying it wrong for 33 years, and I looked it up. African heritage, born on a Saturday, maybe. Tell me about Kwame, not Kwame.
So Kwame, the original pronunciation of the name is Kwame, and Kwame means born on Saturday. My parents, very Afrocentric 70s parents, they named me after the president of Ghana, Ghanaian president Kwame Nkrumah. He was like a very he was like an activist, and they named me after that. But my mother didn't want to name me that at all. So she wanted to name me after my grandfather. I would have been named Kenneth if she had it her way. But so she decided to put an accent over the E and name me Kwame instead of Kwame. So you have basketball players, you have mayors, you have all these different people named Kwame, like Kwame Brown and I can't Kwame Kilpatrick from Detroit, and all these other people with that name. That's great. But the weird thing for me, since now I've been around for 35, 36 years, I run into kids named Kwame, and I run into so many kids, adults now, 35-year-olds on down, that are literally named after me. It's funny. Like I
But
walk
you
into like,
never met a Kwame when you were a boy. There was no other
no.
boy named Kwame.
It's just me.
Now, my
So,
name's Nestor. It's so bizarre. I use nasty. Literally. Yeah.
So like I would be in like say a 7-Eleven, and there's some kid that's across the counter with a name tag that says Kwame. And I'm like, hey, that's a nice name. Where'd you get it from? And they'll be like, man, my mom named me after some rapper, man. I don't even understand why she named me. I was like, oh, for real? Like, yeah. And I get that all the time, all the
That's
time.
fantastic,
Yeah,
man.
so it's amazing. It's
That's a
amazing.
blessing, right?
Yep.
For
I
your
got
mother that
kids.
didn't want to name you Kwame.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for any of you who've ever heard the Nasty theme song over many, many years, or many of you have come up to me in a bar, a restaurant, an airport, a Ravens game, an Orioles game, wherever, and sang the song, this is the artist. I am so happy that you're happy with me. I wondered forever, like, I don't want to piss off the rap guy from New York. You know what I mean? And at one
I'm
point, I
not,
thought
let
you were
me tell
from
you something,
Philly, you know?
Nesta, let me tell you something. I'm not the rap guy. I am not that type of rap guy from New York. I don't get pissed off by anybody. It was like, hey, whatever.
Well,
I
you were
don't.
here a couple weeks ago doing a good turn. Talk to me a little bit about your work, certainly about the Hip Hop Museum down in DC, and you being honored and blessed this month with being put into the other side of being famous to call yourself a Hall of Famer. It really has come a long way to, and a lot of things in our lifetime have, just as to what was considered to be not cool, not on the right side of things, and now to be honored in different ways, and also to be able to contribute to young people.
Well, for me, I am a, I can't just call myself a rapper or an artist. In my career, I've done so many things. I'm a producer. I'm a record producer. I produced records for people as like anywhere from 50 Cent to Will Smith to Christina Aguilera to Mary J. Blige to Jay-Z to Fantasia. I'm just looking at like platinum, like plaques and stuff on the wall. It's just, I've been blessed to have a very long career just in music. But at the same time, I don't think that you can just do that without giving back in some kind of way. So throughout my career, I've always taken the time to either run workshops for youth, run creative, like creative music workshops, creative writing workshops, because I believe in fostering the arts, especially within school age kids, and just doing community outreach. And no stage is too small or too big. So, for example, at Gwynoak Park, it was an event called Nappy Day, and it was held by a group of community business owners, and they set up in Gwynoak Park. You know, it's a community event. People come out, they get to patronize the businesses. At the same time, what was amazing that day, it was torrential raining that day. And by the time I thought the show was going to be canceled, so I'm just sitting in Baltimore. And by the time it was time for me to get on stage, the sun came out. It was hot as hell. It dried up. And I was able to perform, sweltering, but I was able to perform at the same time. And it was a cool event. And with the Hip Hop Museum based in DC, I live, it's weird. I am a very young at heart type of person. As you can see, you got Voltron and Transformers and Pee Wee Herman and all this kind of stuff. I have my studio is like a toy museum. I collect toys. I have a toy company. And I'm just all about being youth oriented and being as youthful as I possibly can, because that's just my just how I am as a person. So to be inducted into a museum, I feel like they're turning me into a relic. I'm turning, but I think it's cool. I think it's weird for me because, like I said, I've always been on the fringe. I'm not mainstream hip hop. I am not underground hip hop by any means. I've always been on the fringe. The records that I've produced big pop records. So I've been in that space. R&B records, I've been in that space, and rap records. And so, but it's never like, you know, I'm never like that mainstream guy. So to get honored like this, I think it's just a surreal moment. And I think it's very dope. It's myself, Kid and Play, the rapper named Dana Dane, a rapper named Sweet T. And the biggest surreal moment is all of us come from the same musical camp. Some of us come from the same neighborhood in Queens, New York, East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. So to have us all as full adults getting honored at the same time is a surreal moment. I think it's a cool thing, to
I'm
be
reading
honest
right
with you.
off the press release here because Karen set this up. My thanks to Karen. My thanks to Kenny Abrams. My thanks to Kwame for spending some time with us here. The National Hip Hop Museum announces its newest Hall of Fame honorees are going to be Kid and Play. I actually met those fellas at a Lee Steinberg Super Bowl party a couple years ago. Jungle Brothers, DJ Red Alert, Dana Dane, Kwame, Sweet T, and DJ Hollywood. The Hip Hop Honors 2025 Grand Induction Ceremony and concert, because it's got to be some music. It's on the 23rd of the month, Saturday, the 23rd of August. At the Woolly Mammoth Theater. It's down in
Yes.
D.C. You can find out all this information at nationalhiphopmuseum.org. I'm certainly going to throw out a link. Lots of music being played, lots of things going on. The mayor's coming over, and they're going to sort of shut the city down a little bit for you guys in D.C. This is a newish kind of museum, a couple years old, right? And I mentioned Sugar Hill. Give me where you were in life the first time you heard Rapper's Delight or.
I can tell you exactly. exactly what I was doing, exactly where I was, what I was doing. I was 6 years old. I had a f best friend named Dakar Calendar. We were at his mother's house. We were playing with Star Wars figures, and the radio station in New York was WBLS, and Rapper's Delight came on. It changed my life immediately. I wanted to know what that was, who that was, and how it got made. That was a turning point in my life that I remember vividly. And from that point, I would call the radio station every day, Rapper's Delight, Rapper's Delight, Rapper's Delight, Rapper's Delight, to the point where when I called, they would say, "Okay, Kwame, we're gonna play Rapper's Delight." And that's when I knew what my calling was. And it's so surreal to me because, like you mentioned Master G. The surreal thing, to make a long story short, when I was in high school, my parents got divorced and I ended up moving to Englewood, New Jersey. And while I was in Englewood, New Jersey, is when I made the demo for my first album. I was in the ninth grade, 10th grade. And when I was playing the demo for one of my friends in school, and he was like, I want to play this for my mom. And I was like, why do you want to play this song for your mom? Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, trust me. So I go to his house. And then when I go to my friend's house, I've known this guy this whole year. I go to his house. It's a mansion. I'm like, the hell? It's like some fresh Prince of Bel-Air stuff. So I go inside the mansion. There's a butler, a maid, the whole nine. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then his mom comes down, and his mom is Sylvia Robinson, the founder of Sugar Hill Records. And I'm like,
Baby
holy.
blue with the candy cane on there, the whole deal, right?
I'm like, wait a minute, what? And it was crazy because when I walked up, there was like a Ferrari. There was a Ferrari in the driveway, but there was no tires on the Ferrari. I was like, wait, it was a Ferrari like on cinder blocks. It was the Magnum PI Ferrari. I'm freaking out. It was a Rolls Royce, butler's maid, and here comes Sylvia Robinson, and she offered me a contract. That was one of my, I already had a contract offer from Atlantic Records, but she offered me a contract for Sugar Hill Records. So that was a surreal turning point moment for me as a kid. You know what I'm saying? Because these are the people that I've listened to and that I grew up on. And here we go full circle and I get this contract. And I want to mention, because I know we got to go, but I want to mention I
We
do
all
have a
have to go, man. I'm gonna get crab cake with you, man. I owe you. Do you eat crab cakes?
I don't eat shellfish, but I'll let you eat it and I'll have
I'll give
something.
you vegetable crude, whatever you want, man. I'll make ice
I have
cream, whatever you
buffalo
want.
wings. I'll eat buffalo wings.
I'll get you some chicken. Good.
I have a new album coming out. The new album is right around the same time as the induction. My new album comes out August 29th. So it's my fifth album. It's called The Different Kids. So, if you haven't, if you don't know my pedigree as an artist, you can go back, you can go on, you can look at all the different albums that I have, but check out The Different Kids because it's like a full circle moment. So I'm getting this induction, I got this new album, new video, all that kind of stuff. So it feels good.
I was the only kid in the neighborhood. First of all, I grew up in an all-white neighborhood. I was Hispanic, but kind of white. And nobody knew what Sugar Hill was. I remember going over to Soundwaves at East Point Mall and asking for it. And they're like, oh, so we get that from the city. So they got it for me on a 45, and I brought it home. It was the short version. It wasn't the complete, like, it wasn't the 12-inch. It wasn't the dance version. It was a radio edit. And so it was missing a verse or two that I didn't learn until 2 years later because I didn't have any access to it. But yeah, and then they came to town, and my neighbor was the guy who worked at the arena tearing the hockey boards down and putting up concerts and stuff. He snuck me in to see Sugar Hill, and I had to like wait where the workers waited in the locker room all afternoon while they broke the hockey thing down, and then I got to sneak in and watch Master G and Grandmaster Flash was a part of that. So like this is 81, 82. You were like born, right? Basically, right?
No, 81, 82, I was what? I was
Six, five, seven.
yeah, I was like 8, 7, 8, yeah.
Well, it's amazing. If you didn't move to Jersey, none of this would have happened for you, right?
No. I already had my deals. I just gotta, I had three deals on the table. The Sugar Hill thing in Jersey was like the third deal on the table. It was a crappy deal. It was the worst deal ever. But that's why I ended up going with Atlantic Records. But it still was a surreal moment for me to get that opportunity.
Well, this is a surreal moment for me to have the man who wrote what around here they call the nasty theme song. But I would always say, no, that's a real song. There's a rapper named Kwame. Now I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, Kwame. And here is the album. And I had no idea that Yarbrough and Peoples were a part of that. And before I let you go, I did Google this. You got to tell me, my wife. There's a couple of songs that when they come on, she loves these songs. She's got three or
Yeah.
four of them, whatever they, the I'll Be Sure song, she loves that one. But her probably her all-time favorite song that's not Bruno Mars would be Bell Biv DeVoe's Poison. When
Yeah.
Poison comes on, she's in her lane. Like when Rapper's Delight comes on, I know every word. She thinks it's funny. Like, so I'll sing it the whole time, no matter where we are. If it's playing, I'm singing Rapper's Delight. She's that way with Bell Biv DeVoe and Poison. You had a role in that, yes?
Yeah, so I wrote the raps to that song, and it was weird because I was in a car with Michael Bivins, Biv, and we were going to a club out here in LA, and he plays me Poison, and he was like, "I need raps to this. I haven't come up with anything." So by the time when we get to the club, I don't say anything. We get to the club, I hand him a napkin. I'm like, "Here goes your raps." And it was and it ended up on the record. So I showed him how to say it. He remembered it, and the rest is history.
What is the rap?
Poison, deadly, moving in slow, looking for a mellow fellow like DeVoe, getting paid late, so you better lay low, screaming on hard money and the whole show. The low crow ho should be cut like an afro. So what you saying? I can't remember the rest, but
Well, Bell Biv
that,
DeVoe, now you know.
yeah, there you go.
Is that good?
There you go.
Well, now you know the rest of the story and the nasty. Thank you for allowing me to borrow, sample, steal. We did ask Caput at the time. I didn't
You
plan
gotta
this
bring
segment.
the song back, man. Bring the song back just for a commemorative 35th anniversary.
Well, I thank you, and thank you for your time. Congratulations. I want everybody to get down to DC, honor you, come back to Baltimore. Even though you're not a crab cake guy, I'll figure something out to be kind to
Yeah.
you. And
Some
thank
salmon, just give me like some salmon, some good vegetables, I'm flexible.
you're fishy. Okay, well that's good. We got great rockfish down there. We have these invasive catfish that are eating all of the crabs. They're like Jabba the Hutt. They're huge. We need to eat those anyway. So if you eat
I don't eat, I
catfish,
no 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 catfish. I
shoo,
don't eat
man, I'm
catfish.
gonna find something. I'm gonna work some vegetables and some cereal. Kwame, thank you so much for
Thank
being
you.
a great artist and all the work and showing back up and bubbling back up into my life and being such a great guest. For
Thank you, thank
anybody
you.
out there, go find his work. Go find the work down in D.C. as well. It is on August the 23rd. They're putting a whole bunch of special people into the Hip Hop Museum and their Hall of Fame and the honorees. You can find
And
out
make
all.
sure
Go ahead.
You check out the new album, The Different Kids. The Different Kids, August 29th. The Different Kids.
All right, man. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to
All
step out,
right.
take a break. We're going to get a crab cake. Luke's covering the Ravens. Luke's covering the Orioles. And I'm covering a little nasty history here for our 27th anniversary. I got to change the 26th oyster to a 27. We're back
There
for
you
more
go.
right after this.